Do you believe in God?
My mom is going to watch this, so yes.
Your mom's going to watch you say that.
I think it's the lack of hope that comes and gets you. See, I believe in hope. I believe in belief.
Let me tell you what I believe. I believe it. I believe we will face everything. I believe that we will win.
Oh, goodness.
This one's a polarizing question, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that enough to believe, 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 believe in your love?
We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. Today, we're starting off a brand new series. We're calling it Believe. And in this series, we're going to be looking at some practical ways of how do you believe? What should we believe God for? And I believe we're going to see some great things happen in the next few weeks. Today, we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question. What do I do when I'm faced with impossible things in my life? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, well, I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. We're going to be turning together today to Luke chapter 24. We encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone and to look it up with us as we look at it together. The words are going to be up on the screen as we go along, but we want you to see for yourself where it is so that you can bookmark it so you know where it's at, because we want you to read all around this passage, to read what's before it and read what's after it, but not while I'm talking. Now, for the next few moments, you should have received a message notes where there's some fill in the blanks where you can follow along with today's message. There's going to be answers up on the screen as we go along. This is important because we've designed this to keep you awake for the next few moments. We don't want you falling asleep on us, but we also want to know exactly when is this guy going to be done talking today. And I'll tell you when I'm going to be done when we get to the end. And so you know that eventually we'll be done here today. But this piece of paper is useful because we want to encourage you to use it later on this week, that if you got a table at home that's kind of rickety, you can wad this up, put it underneath, and it'll fix it. Or you can use this as a devotional to where you can reread for yourself and see what the Bible says for yourself on the subject of believe. I want to say hi to those who are watching online. We're so glad that you are watching with us, and we want to know who's watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now, would you tell our hosts by writing in the comments who you are, maybe who's watching with you, where you're watching from, and they're going to be glad to greet you there. We're glad you're with us. So we're reading today in Luke chapter 24, and let me just tell you what just happened. You see, the 3 days prior to this moment we're about to read from are crazy moments. You see, Jesus gets arrested. He gets put on trial. He gets falsely accused. He's found guilty. He's going to be executed. And because they're under Roman law, they're going to use the execution method that the Romans have that is awful. It's crucifixion. Jesus dies. They put him in a tomb. The authorities are like, hey, we don't want anyone stealing this guy, so we're going to seal it up. Let's put a big stone in front of this tomb, and let's seal it up. Let's post guards here so that no one can take the body. Now, Saturday is kind of quiet. It's the Sabbath. But as soon as sun goes down on Saturday, the Bible describes that there's some ladies who follow Jesus, and they went and they purchased some spices, and they prepared these spices. And their plan was that when the sun rose on the following day, on Sunday morning, that they would visit the tomb. Hopefully they'd ask someone, how can we get in? Because it was customary to dress the body with these spices. They want to anoint the body with these spices. And so they prepared for this. And that's where we're picking up today in Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered what he had said. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told these apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would challenge us, that you would change us, that we would believe. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Over here, I've got a pitcher of water and a glass, and so I'm going to pour some water into this glass. As we look at this glass of water, some of you are looking at this, and some of you are thinking, it's half empty. Others are thinking, it's half full. And I actually want to know what you're thinking. So if you are someone who says, this glass is half full, raise your hand, half full. Now, if you're someone who looks at this glass and you say, that glass, I think it's half empty, raise your hand. Okay, a few of you. And now there's some of you out there like, Pastor, that's not half a glass. Let me fix that for you. Maybe you can vote now, okay, right, on what it is. But how you look at a glass of water and whether it's half full or half empty says a lot about how you look at life. You see, someone who looks at a glass as half empty, they tend to look at the negative side. They don't look at the positive, and really, they wouldn't tell you they're looking at the negative. They would say, I'm just being a realist, saying it how it is. But someone who looks at a glass like this and says, it's half full, you're looking at the positive side, and you're hopeful for what could be, and you're thankful for what you do have. It's called perspective, that we each have our own perspectives of life, and your perspective on how you look at things, it can change over time. It can change because of your experiences, what you've gone through, whether you've been traumatized, whether you've been encouraged. It can change. And a lot of times when our perspective starts getting us in trouble and it hurts and we don't like it, we tend to start protecting ourselves and changing our perspective on life. And let me just give you a simple example of this. You see, I've known my wife for a very long time now. This year, we celebrate 25 years of being married, and can't wait the summer. 25 years, finally there. It's possible. And we've had 12 good years. No. Yes. So let me tell you something I do with my wife, okay? So all along, as long as I've known her, she'll be standing there, and I'll be walking up to her, and you know what I do? I tap her on the left shoulder and keep on walking on her right. And you know what she would do? She would turn around, and there's no one there. And she'd feel silly because she would fall for it all the time. And finally, over many, many years of me tapping the shoulder and walking the other direction, she started figuring it out, and she started changing her perspective, just not being naive anymore to just do it. She's like, oh, it's got to be Ryan. So whenever I would tap her on the left shoulder, you know what she started doing? Looking over her right shoulder, like, ha, gotcha. She changed because of her perspective, kind of protecting herself. But now it's evolved to a whole nother level. Because now if I tap her on the left shoulder, she ignores me. She knows better. She's like, ah, it's just Ryan again. Now, at this moment of time, what we're talking about in Luke chapter 24, the disciples, they're all scattered. Their leader that they've been following for 3.5 years has just been taken in a whirlwind, has been executed, has been buried, and now they're unsure of their future. Everything that was up is down, left, right, every plan that they had, every dream that they had, it's all gone. They're really facing an impossible situation. They don't know what to do next. And if they would do that to their leader, what are they going to do to them? They were scared. You see, they face an impossible future with an uncertain outcome. And while this is going on, we have some ladies who visit the tomb. The tomb is there. It's open. The guards are no longer there. They go inside. They see angels. Angels tell them to go tell the guys, and they come back with this story that sounds ridiculous. Like, yeah, right. You're telling me that there's no one there. You probably went to the wrong address. But as they shared their story, the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. You see, our ability to believe when we're faced with impossible situations is influenced by our perspective. And their perspective was skewed by what they knew, by what they saw, what they experienced, what they understood, like dead is dead. That this doesn't happen. There's probably a logical explanation for this. You didn't see some people in some nice fancy clothes and some nice Air Force Ones. No, it didn't happen. Jesus is probably somewhere else and someone stole his body. Like, it was unbelievable. Impossible. You see, they probably thought their story can't be true because this doesn't happen. And so because of this, because of their perspective, they didn't believe. Now, it doesn't take too long in our own lives to mess it up. I mean, we can be living our lives. We can be having plans. We're going on a trajectory. We're like, hey, this is great. I got goals. I got plans. I'm going somewhere. And all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did that all happen? And you find yourself in a spot that you never expected. And you don't know, how are you going to get out of this? How did I get here? My life is over. It's impossible. Personally, happened to me at the very old age of 18. You see, I went off to college and was on a scholarship, going to college, doing well, except then I found a girl and I was all focused about the girl. Like, everything, I just wanted to just focus on her. Everything was about that. And when I was focused on her, which, by the way, it wasn't Shalee, it was someone else. When I was focused on her, I was not focusing on the reason why I was there, which was school. Yeah, but I didn't care. I was in love. You know, all you need is love, right? But as we got towards the end of the semester, I got the words no one wants to hear. We need to talk. And she needed to talk, and she didn't want to be together anymore. She's like, we're done. And I was devastated. I'm like, wow, my whole world had caved in. I'm like, I didn't know what to do. And then it's like I had a wake-up call, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on with my grades? What's going on with classes? I got to scramble. I got to try to make this up. But I had reached a point in the semester and had totally neglected everything I was supposed to be doing because I was blindsided. I was focused on a girl that I talked to my academic advisor, and he said, you're done, dude. Your life's over. You're going to lose your scholarship. You're going to have to go through in front of an academic review board. They're kicking you out. And I'm like, no, no. I felt like my life was over. Why? Because it was going to be impossible to recover from this. And what about for you? What life situations have you found yourself in that you're like, how did I get here? It happened so quick, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, and it's so messed up. So you don't know what's up or down, left or right. You don't know what to do next. It's just gotten worse. messy, complicated. You find yourself believing that getting out of this is simply impossible. So what do we do when we face impossible life situations? First, I believe that we're going to need God's help. And it starts by believing, no matter how impossible, no matter how complicated, no matter how messy our situation is, we need to believe that God can, that He can do anything. And believing that God can requires two things: trust and hope. Now, the angels told the women while they were in the tomb, as they were talking to them, saying, "Don't you remember what Jesus said?" And they were trying to remind them that, saying, hey, this is a clue that if when you're faced with a situation that you don't know what you're doing, remember who you're dealing with. Remember what God has said. Remember what's in His word. Because you know what? I said, in order to believe, in order to get out of an impossible situation, we've got to trust. And it's hard to trust someone we don't know. And so we need to remember who He is. In order to start believing, we got to trust Him. We got to trust that He cares, that He's there, that He can help, that He keeps His promises, and that He wants to help, that He can do anything. So to trust, we got to remember. What has He said? What has He done? Does He exist? Is He real to me? Has He done anything before for me? Now, it's interesting that these ladies, they went and told the disciples of, hey, this is what happened. Remember, the ladies like, oh yeah, we remember. That's what Jesus said. They went and told the men, hey, here's what happened. Remember, Jesus said this. And the disciples like, yeah, we don't believe you. It's a bunch of nonsense. And yet these are the same guys that only months earlier, they traveled to Bethany and they saw for themselves a dead guy come to life. As a matter of fact, we talked about it just several weeks ago about this and how Jesus waited until it was for sure that Lazarus was dead. As a matter of fact, when He went there, He asked them to open the tomb, and they're like, dude, the body's been in there for 4 days, and so it's going to stink. Are you sure? And Jesus is like, dude, I'm about to prove that God has given me the power to do anything. And the disciples had seen this. They saw Lazarus come out. They heard Jesus say this, that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even if he lives, will never die. Everyone who lives in me, believes in me, will never die. This is the words of Jesus, that He said these things, and they needed to remember. But when it comes to trusting, I mean, that's one thing. But believing things can happen. It's a whole nother deal. In order to believe, we're going to have to do something. We have to find hope, and we need to make a decision based off hope. You see, whatever situation is going on in your life, you are looking at the possible solutions based off the same way you're looking at this glass. Is it possible or is it not, based off your perspective? You see, if we look at the reality of it, of our situation, we say there is no hope. But really, let me tell you about believing. Believing is simply a decision. It's a decision not based off what I see laid before me. It's based off, do I have hope that it can be different? I mean, think about this. We got lots of sports fans here in person watching online. And everyone right now believes their football team can win the Super Bowl this next year. It's not because of proof. It's not because it's happening or it's guaranteed. It's just, hey, there's hope. It's possible. And when we can grab onto hope, we can make a decision to believe. It's like flipping a switch one side over. I found even just a little bit of hope. Flip the switch. Believe. The story sounded like nonsense to the men, and so they didn't believe. But it wasn't all of them. As a matter of fact, if we continue reading in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says that one disciple had hope. that he wanted to find out for himself that maybe it could be true. I remember Jesus did say that, I want to go see for myself. And so it describes that Peter went running to the tomb. He had hope. But if we collaborate the Gospels together, we see that Peter even wasn't the only one who ran to the tomb. If we read John, John describes that two disciples ran to the tomb. And I highly encourage reading the story in John as he describes it, because there's something really funny with it. Because apparently the disciple John has a problem with the disciple Peter, and that he feels like he's in competition with them. And John did write the Gospel of John, but he never talks about himself. But when he's in the story, he refers to himself in a whole different way. He refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved the most. I mean, you gotta read this. So when the ladies come and they hear the story, and most of them are like, oh, it's unbelievable, nonsense. Peter's like, I'm going to go see. And the disciple that Jesus loved said, I'll race you there too. And they had a foot race. And John describes it this way. He says, the disciple that Jesus loved got there first. First place. Okay? He beat Peter. He's all proud of himself. But when John got to the tomb, he stopped at the entrance. Let me just tell you, I don't blame him. Kind of scary. I mean, would you walk into a tomb? I mean, that there's supposed to be a dead body, and there might not be a dead body. And if there's not a dead body, there might be people with white clothes on. Scary stuff. But he's like, whoa, hesitate. He got there first, but here comes Peter on your left and just goes right past him into the tomb. And he goes and sees for himself what, and Peter's looking in there. He's wandering in there. And John's like, I'm not going to let Peter beat me. If he's going in there, I'm going in there. And he describes what he saw in the tomb. That he saw the linens that they wrapped Jesus' body with that still had the bloodstains on them and everything. And they were laying on where his body used to be. They were folded up. And then the cloth that was covering his face was laid on top. And John describes it this way. He says, he saw it. And he believed. He made the decision. He had hope. He went to go see for himself. He ran. You see, believing is a decision based off hope. And who do we put our trust in? Before the semester was over, I had to go home for Christmas. And I was told that as soon as I got back, I'd be facing the academic review board, that I would be kicked out, I'd lose my scholarship, my life was over. And I was crushed. Didn't know what to do. It wasn't quite a joyous vacation. And I found myself at a church service that December. Maybe like you today, you're kind of wondering, how did I end up at this church service? You know, I mean, if they're ever going to go to a church service, you know, Easter's kind of the day to do it. And you may be sitting here today saying, I don't even know why I'm here, but hopefully I'm getting like brownie points for something. Maybe there's a gold star waiting for me that I showed up. And that's kind of how I felt. But as I was in that church service, you know what I realized? I realized that for the prior 6 months, I had taken my focus off of God and I'd placed my focus on someone else. And in that process, I had ruined my life. I mean, here I was, 18 years old, saying, my life is over. I'm ruined. I have no future. I've messed everything up. It's impossible to fix. And I'm in this church service, and I remember it very vividly. You see, I sat on the second row, because no one sits on the front row. You know why? It's just a barrier between you and me, so you feel comfortable. I'm going to jump on you or something, right? I don't know, spit on you or something. It's a splash zone right here. Yeah, watch out. I sat on the second row, and this church was meeting in an elementary school, and they didn't have comfortable, cushy chairs like you're sitting in right now, which we tested out. You can last 3 hours in these chairs and be comfortable. So service will go longer today. No, just joking. We were sitting in these metal folding chairs, uncomfortable and everything, and I remember sitting in the middle, and as service is going on, the pastor gets up, and he's like, hey, in just a moment, we're going to have a prayer time. Because some of you need prayer, that you have things going on in your life that you need prayer for. You need to give it to God. And I knew that he was talking to me. And I don't know who else he was talking to in that room, but he was talking to me. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I needed to get prayer. And so then when the time was, the pastor said, you come forward. If you need prayer, if that's you, you come forward. And I tried to come forward. But I happened to sit in the middle of the second row. And the second row must have been like a mile long because there was people left, right. I'm like, I can't get out. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I needed to go talk to God. I knew I needed to give the broken piece of my life to God. So you know what I did? I picked up the chairs in front of me, moved it to the side. I said, nothing's stopping me from going to God at this point. Nothing. I ran to God. And I prayed this prayer to him. I said, God, I've messed up my life. I feel like in my hand is the broken pieces of my life. I don't know what my future holds. I've messed things up because I took my focus on you. God, I'm sorry. I want to be focused on you. And if you can do anything, can you do something with this? Can you make something out of my broken pieces of my life? I went back to college after Christmas break was over. And it turns out I didn't have to go see the academic review board. Things changed, things happened that didn't normally happen, and I did not get kicked out. But my trajectory changed and my goals changed, but God made a way that my life wasn't over and actually put me on a path that led directly to me being right here, right now. God fixed it. When I thought it was impossible, God fixed it because he had great plans for me. The Bible says he's got plans for us, purpose for us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And that's what he did for me. And he could do the same for you too. You see, I believed that day. I found hope that day. I trusted God that day. And if there's anything today that we need to decide, if there's anything we need to latch onto and say, this is my statement, this is the thing I'm going to claim today, this is the thing I'm going to be challenged by, this statement here, it's found in the pink box on your notes. And here's what it says. When it comes to the impossible situations in my life, I will run to God and believe he can do anything. A few years back, I got a phone call very late in the day from a family that goes to this church. And I did not expect this phone call, but I got on the phone with them. And they're like, Pastor, can we meet with you? I'm like, sure. When do you want to meet? They're like, now. And I'm like, okay. They're like, we're driving to you right now. We just hoped and prayed that you were there. And I'm like, I'm here. I'll meet with you. And so I met with them in my office, and what they shared with me next blew my mind. I had no idea how impossible of a situation they had gotten themselves into. But I knew that only God could help them through it. We've actually recorded their story, and I want to share their story with you today. Story that belongs to Kiefer and Andrea. Let's take a look.
Hi, I'm Andrea.
And I'm Kiefer.
And this is a story of a miracle that God did for us. And Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shelley are the only people that know about this. And we just felt it was time to share with everybody else who we love dearly and is a part of our family now, that Trip is a blessing. But at the time, you know, we thought he was a curse. And it changed our lives forever. It wasn't the easiest thing, but it was the biggest blessing we could have ever asked for.
We didn't even ask for it.
Yeah. 2 years ago, we came to Focus, and we came to church, and we weren't really there, though. We were both in a dark spot. We weren't happy, and we were alone. We weren't with God at all. And I went to seek some companionship with somebody else. And as a result, we got the worst news that we could have ever gotten. I was pregnant with somebody else's child.
So we ended up going to the clinic to, fix the problem. And we're waiting there. And I mean, I've never been for that kind of thing, but it just, feels different when it's happening to you. But we were in the waiting room and we both just kind of couldn't do it. Like, we didn't even wait to get our name called. We just were sitting there and just had to leave.
And we went to Pastor Ryan and I told him everything. I just kind of threw it at him and
he kind of looked scared because we just kind of vomited it all out right in front of him and he was just like, what?
It was just like I needed to get this out and we needed somebody to help us, to tell us what to do. I mean, it felt like me and Kiefer left that day and it felt like we both agreed that God was speaking through Pastor Ryan. And it was just kind of like we got in the van and it clicked. And I felt like I changed talking to him, that I had to forgive myself. Otherwise, I wasn't going to be who I needed to be.
And I had to forgive her because if I didn't, I don't know if we would be together. I don't know if we hadn't gone and talked to Pastor Ryan and he let God speak through him, if it would have clicked in our minds and in our hearts that we need to forgive to move on.
And without God, this wouldn't be here. Trip wouldn't be here.
And make us realize that it's a blessing.
Yes.
Trip is a blessing.
Yes. I don't think anybody knew that Trip wasn't his son, because you look at them and you're like, wow, they're just alike. They're crazy together. And honestly, when I see Kiefer with Trip, it's like that is his son. He has accepted him. He does all the hard things for Trip, even though there have been times where I'm like, he shouldn't have to do that because I made the mistake. That's not Kiefer's mistake. And
yeah, but if there's a poopy diaper, it's got to get changed.
Yeah. And Kiefer has just stepped up from day one. He has been there.
Because I don't know that she fully forgave herself that night that we talked to Pastor Ryan, but since then, I know she has. And it's almost like somebody took the shade off of a lamp on her, because she's not dark and depressing and like just upset all the time. She just is happy again. And I feel like telling this story is gonna do even more for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, but if God can help us, I can only imagine what God can do in your life and how he can help you, whether it's the same situation or it's a completely different situation. You can see that God can take something that is in ruins and build it back up again to brand new. And I feel like we had to share this to get this out there, that God does amazing things. He does miracles every day. And honestly, I'm proud to be able to say that God worked through us and he worked through our family, and we're able to share with all of you, because I know that you all love us and we all love you. And I just hope that even if it's just one person, that it helps somebody get through a hard time and see the light at the end of the tunnel.
So if God can save this, there's hope for you too.
Kiefer and Andrea are in the room here today, and they're still a part of this family and still reaching for their next level with God and continue growing. But how many of you here today would say, Pastor, I've either been through a really impossible situation or I'm going through one now. Would you be so bold as to let me know right now, just with lifting your hand, saying, Pastor, that's me. That's me. It's part of our life, what happens. But in Mark chapter 9, there's a dad who doesn't know what to do with his child. His son, he's gone to experts, he's gone to doctors, and no one can help his son. As a matter of fact, he thinks, if I could just even go to the religious leaders, and they couldn't help. And he said, I heard about this Jesus guy, I'll go to one of his disciples. And they tried to help, and they couldn't help. And so finally, this dad, he's like, it's impossible. No one can help my son. But he puts his hope on Jesus and says, one last chance. If I could just see Jesus, if I could just take my boy to Jesus, maybe he can do something. And so he did. He got to meet Jesus. And this is what his dad said to Jesus. He said, have mercy on us and help us if you can. I think it's hilarious what Jesus says next, because Jesus is really offended by this guy. He's like, what do you mean? If I can. And he said, anything is possible if a person believes. And so the dad, instantly, he cries out. He says, I believe. Please help me with my unbelief. And maybe that's you. That you, on your last string, last hope. Maybe that's why you're watching right now. Maybe that's why you're even here right now, because you're like, if God can help me, then there's nothing. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're like that dad in Mark chapter 9 saying, if you can. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to say to you, what do you mean, if I can? Anything's possible if you believe. So you need to choose trust. Choose hope. Make the decision to believe even when it seems impossible. And, oh, by the way, this glass of water. We said our perspective on life changes how we believe, that it influences how we believe. Let me tell you about this glass right here. This glass has never been empty the entire time. This glass has been completely full the entire time that it's been up here. And you say, Pastor, that's impossible, is it? Part of its air, part of its water, always been full the entire time, just a different perspective. And maybe that's all we need to believe, is to look at it differently and grab hope. Change your perspective. Believe. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we spend a moment talking to God here today as we wrap up. God, thank you that on this day today we celebrate you raising your son from the dead. You did the impossible, that it sounded like nonsense to the men and they did not believe, but God, you did do it. God, we face situations in our lives that seem impossible. But as I've shared in my story and how Andrea and Kiefer shared their story, that if we give it to you, if we look to you, if we pin our hope on you, if we believe in you, you can do anything. And God, I know there's people here, both in person and watching online, who would say, I'm facing something right now and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know what's going to happen next. My life is over. It's just broken pieces. But God, I pray that today would be the day for them where they say, God, I give you the broken pieces of my life, of my situation, that if you can do anything, if you can, will you make something of this? Will you give me a future and a hope, as your word says? Will you come through and do the impossible? Help us, God. We choose to trust you. We pin our hope on you. And with that, we make the decision to believe. Help our unbelief. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, I said that if you came today looking for hope, hope is found in Jesus. We'll give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end. And here we are. God loves you so much. It's the whole reason why he sent his son. Jesus said himself in John chapter 3 that God loved you and me so much, he sent his son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went on, verse 17, to say, God didn't send Jesus to judge us or to condemn us for our sin, but rather so that all of us through him could be saved. You see, Jesus was both fully God and fully man, and as he lived on this planet and experienced everything we did, he lived a sinless life. And when he died, which was the plan all along as he predicted, when he died, he was not paying for the punishment of his sin, but he could take on our sin. That he could pay the price for us so that we could be set free from our sin and guilt and shame. So that we could be a part of God's family. We could be forgiven. That we could live a life full of purpose and hope. The work's already been done. That's why we celebrate Easter. Jesus is alive. It's now possible to be right with God. It's now possible to follow God, to love him, to serve him, to be with him, to grow. You may say, Pastor, I need what you're talking about. What do I got to do to get it? Well, the Bible describes we've got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, we've got to tell God a few things. One, we got to recognize that we're not worthy. There's nothing we can do to deserve it and earn it. And really, we got to say, I'm sorry for my sin. Secondly, we got to believe that God did send Jesus because he loved us, that Jesus did pay the price for us, and we claim that what he did was for us, for our sin. And finally, we got to decide. Am I going all in? Will I make God the boss of my life? Will I follow him? Will I make him the leader of my life? And in that moment, when we say that prayer, it all changes. We're forgiven. Our name is written in the book. We're going to heaven. We're part of God's family. We get to grow. Now, we're not talking about a life of butterflies and rainbows, but we're talking about a life better than we can imagine. Real meaning and real purpose, and that could be yours today. So I want to help you with this. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to say this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to encourage you to say it out loud, repeating after me. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. You see, this is the most important thing we do here at Focus Church. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray this prayer right now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.